Dateline Hellburbia. Walmart Wasteland USA. Monster teenagers shot up their school again today. What makes them do it? Video games? Marilyn Manson? For a live report in front of the now empty building, here's Clonetta Hairspray with all the exclusive blood-buttered details. What does make them do it? Well, it couldn't possibly have anything to do with parents, or the fact that school really does suck, and so does a horizon of sterile dead-end careers where you're chained to a keyboard 80 hours a week with only enough free time to go home, rent a video, and pass out on the couch. Till one day you wake up and resign yourself to being the same sort of failure that you hated about your parents. And there really is a mandated caste system where favored bullies of both sexes get patted on the head for hazing and beating up undesirables of the lower caste. I come to dissect teenage rampage superstars, not to praise them. But every time this happens, what gnaws inside and continues to fascinate is, this could have been me. Why not me? After all, wanting to destroy the school and annihilate the bullies is a normal rite of passage of growing up in America. Sure, I wanted to kill the quarterback and firebomb my gym teacher's office in seventh grade, but by ninth grade, the quarterback had chilled and I had chilled and we were more or less friends. Plus, I had no access to guns. Or so much money I could go out and buy them. But still, what made them do it? What made them actually go through with it? Doom? Marilyn Manson? Be serious. Millions of other people play Doom and don't run out and kill the school. Millions more check out genuinely bad things on the internet and don't turn into bad people. The two Columbine guys in Littleton, Colorado, were a month away from graduation, free at last after 12 long years, and never have to see all those people they hated again. Why? It makes no sense. If Manson was such a big influence, why didn't they wait 5 more days and go see his kick-ass live show in Denver? It makes no sense. That's like saying the very music that made some troubled kid happy is what led them to kill themselves. It makes no sense. I'm glad I didn't go to Columbine. I went to Boulder High School, about 20 miles north. Even then, Columbine had a reputation as a darkly conservative rich kid's school, possibly the wealthiest in the whole state. Sure wish my school could afford equipment to get class credit learning how to make videos. But what really creeped me out about Columbine was the impression that if you didn't fit in where you were supposed to fit in, you had nowhere to go but to join the anti-click click. Huh? At least at Boulder High, there was a large enough pool of mutants that creative degenerates like myself could have their fingers in several different pies, even a straight one or two. None went deep enough for me to feel a sense of acceptance or belonging, but deep down inside, I knew I was me. I was my own person. I liked that. There were reports that outcasts at Columbine, like at so many of today's schools, were punched in the head in the hallway as they went to class, pissed on in the showers by the jocks. Stuff like that would never have been tolerated at Boulder High. Sure, there were thugs, but they knew that no matter how rich or athletic you were, you could get expelled, or worse yet, kicked off the team if you did stuff like that. Contrast that with this quote from a 250-pound defensive lineman from Columbine High School. Columbine is a good, clean place except for those rejects. Most kids didn't want them there. They were into witchcraft. They were into voodoo dolls. Sure, we teased them, but what do you expect when kids come to school with weird hairdos? They're a bunch of homos. The whole school's disgusted with them. If you want to get rid of someone, interesting language, usually you tease them. So the whole school would call them homos. And when they did something sick, we'd tell them. Nowadays, schools too often do push sports over learning. Treat their jocks as coddled gods to prepare them for their destiny as knights of the business round table, to throw around their brute privilege as fiendishly competitive adults. Meanwhile, girls are beaten down and kept in line by schools, media, and parents alike. No matter who or what you are, you're fat. You're ugly. You're inadequate. Your breasts are too small. Your butt is too big. Your butt is too small. Your breasts are too big. Worse yet, your brain is too big. And if you're not as thin and perfect as the plastic beautiful few, there must be something horribly wrong with you. So buy this, and buy this, and buy this, and buy this. A survey earlier that fateful year identified the Columbine student body as 60% evangelical Christian. A strain my uncle once called obnoxiously religious. I have no problem with people having spiritual values, but when anyone tries to force their spiritual values on others through monkeying with the law or intimidation or violence, I fight like a cat in a corner. What would Jesus do this? What would Jesus do that? Who cares what Jesus would do? This is the 21st century. I doubt the shooters at Columbine are the only ones who have rightly or wrongly felt seriously threatened by this. Being bullied to believe is the strongest reason I know of not to let prayer back in public schools. Speaking of which, can you believe there's now not one but two sets of Columbine parents running around the country pimping their daughters' tragic deaths at huge religious revivals, saying theirs was the one who said she believed in Jesus Christ right before she got shot, while the official investigation showed that the girl who actually said that is very much alive and chose not to use that as a cash cow for God Incorporated. My sister's dead too. I know what grief can do, but let's cash in. Creepy. Other parents have allowed themselves to be hornswoggled by lawyers, suing the school, suing the sheriff, suing the other parents as though enriching, carpet-bagging litigation crocodiles will somehow bring them closure. In West Paducah, Kentucky, where a kid shot up the morning prayer circle, parents of three victims are not only suing the school district, but several teachers, various students, manufacturers and distributors of video games and movies, and what they call pornographic or anarchistic websites, and they're even suing the homeowner that the murder weapons were stolen from. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get real. There ain't no such thing as closure. All the lawsuits, religion, and happy drugs in the world are not going to reverse the fact that my sister and her husband, who I loved like a brother, were killed in a rock climbing accident in 96. No little magic closure is ever going to bring them back or make everything all better. The loss, the longing, that hollow feeling in my gut will never completely go away. Nor should it. You deal with it and keep moving on. Closure doesn't exist. So don't ever let anybody try to sell it to you when you're hurting. The creepiest school shooting rampage to me is still the one in Arkansas. 13 and 11-year-old boys, the 11-year-old supposedly the dominant one. Of course, a U.S. Senate committee led by that noted legislative titan Sam Brownback of Kansas and his sidekick and head of the Democratic Leadership Council, Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, said music was once again at fault. They flew up one of the teachers from Jonesboro, claiming the older gun child was a fine boy till he started listening to that Tupac Shaker and Bone Thugs and Harmony. What she didn't mention was that he also sang in the church choir regularly, and that at age 13 and 11, those kids knew how to hotwire and drive a van, and that they learned how to shoot almost as soon as they could walk and knew right where to find Grandpa's guns when the big day came. They shot only girls and a female teacher. The older one said it was because one of the girls had jilted him by refusing to become his girlfriend on demand. Where did that come from? Sorry, Senator, but bigotry, sexism, and sharpshooters dressed like Rambo in their baby pictures, that doesn't come from music, that comes from parents. So ban black trench coats, that'll solve the problem. The Columbine shooters were not in the trench coat mafia or Marilyn Manson fans, by the way. And Lord, none of these terrible things would have happened if we just hung up the Ten Commandments in all the classrooms. So we can make everybody memorize thou shalt not kill before they graduate and join the Marines. And better yet, now that they've finally come up with a book that kids are willing to quit playing video games in order to read because they like them so much, well, we've got to ban Harry Potter because it mentions witchcraft. Leave it to bonehead school officials and cops to overreact so far off the scale, so long as it avoids real problems and solutions. Instead of teaching tolerance, they are now promoting more intolerance. A woman I know who teaches in Fort Collins High School, further north of Columbine, said that on the day of the shooting, the administration called an emergency staff meeting, and one of the people there said, "We've got to start profiling those kids." So with Columbine as an excuse, open season on weirdos has begun. In Salt Lake City, a kid got kicked out of school for wearing a t-shirt that said vegan on it because it promoted gang activity. In Pennsylvania, a girl was suspended for saying out loud that she understood how someone who was teased mercilessly could snap. In Florida, a girl was suspended for bringing nail clippers to class, while another 16-year-old boy got booted for showing a miniature Confederate flag to a friend at lunch while they were discussing the Civil War. Since 1996, 20 students in four states have been suspended for possession of Alka-Seltzer. No matter how nauseating the curriculum, thou shalt not bring fizzies to class. Near Dallas, a 13-year-old spent 5 days in jail because of his Halloween essay that got extra credit for the teacher. Another's got 3 days in jail in Wilmington, North Carolina, because he wrote "The End is Near" on a computer backdrop, so they charged him with communicating a threat. And 2 10-year-olds were charged with a felony in Virginia, trying to injure or kill their teacher because they squirted soap gel in the teacher's water bottle. The counterattack on kids who think has gone from funny to fierce to downright dangerous and sick. Sam Donaldson quacking away about the coming onslaught of goth gangs had me rolling on the floor with laughter. Less funny, however, is the Crime Prevention Resource Center out of Fort Worth, Texas, group of cops and concerned citizens who tell school officials and parent groups that goths are as dangerous a gang as Crips and Bloods. and that any child caught listening to Marilyn Manson should be put in a mental hospital. More and more school kids are developing serious back and shoulder problems thanks to lockers being torn out, so they have to carry all their books with them everywhere they go, preferably in see-through backpacks. In DeSalle High School in New Orleans, they don't just drug test athletes, they cut off a lock of everybody's hair every year and test them all for drugs. Further still out in Looney Land is Odessa, Texas, where students at Permian High School are now surrounded by a giant security fence, surveillance cameras, even on the school buses, and must all wear barcode badges around their necks at all times that can be scanned to show everything they've done wrong and their medical records. Regular drills include sealing the hallways where students must drop their belongings where they stand, and all the belongings are run through metal detectors. Live SWAT teams drill right in school in Pittsburgh and Chicago. And our government and the private security industry have found a way to get it on the game, too. Straight from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, let's play Get the Geeks. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms has unveiled their Mosaic 2000 program, where school officials can secretly vet and rate potential troublemakers on a scale of 1 to 10 and have the feds tell them if they should kick them out or lock them up. And Pinkerton, yes, that Pinkerton, when they're not busy shooting union activists in earlier part of the century, Pinkerton offers cash prizes and t-shirts to kids who turn in their fellow students for being too weird under their WAVE program. Among the symptoms of dangerous behavior initially listed by Pinkerton are bad grades, little interest in school, and excessive feelings of isolation or rejection. This too could have been me. It was me. Time magazine has their How to Spot a Troubled Kid cover issue, and they list some handy guidelines on how to spot a depressed child. Acting up in school. Refusing to take part in school and family events. Seeking out music, art and games and books with death-related themes. Saving Private Ryan. And feeling that their family, peers, and teachers disapprove of them. This is a medical disorder? It is now. While in preschoolers, Times experts say to look for overactivity, sad appearance, irritability, and tendency to portray the world as bleak. And the answer, of course, is not more sugar bomb cereal for the overactivity before school, not more Pokemon. The answer is drugs. No, not the fun drugs. But overused, abused narcotics like Prozac, Ritalin, Paxil, Zoloft, Xanax, made and overpriced by the very multinational drug cartels, companies, that help finance the Just Say No commercials, that help drug our paranoid populace into tolerating the drug war. Have you drugged your kid today? According to ABC News, 7 million American school children are now doped up on meds, up from 100,000 only 20 years ago, pre-Reagan. Kids in America are 10 times more likely to be dosed with Ritalin in this country than they are in Europe, and twice as likely as Canada. There's enough examples just among people I know that I fear today's Ritalin kids are at risk of becoming tomorrow's speed freaks and junkies. But what if school really is boring? What if parents, teachers, and peers are stupid? Does that mean we should drug our best and brightest minds of the future into submission and stupidity just to get them to obey? Smart remark? Must be hyperactive. Bored with class? Ooh, that's attention deficit disorder. We're drugging our kids so we don't have to talk to them. Overscheduling them with stupid activities instead of asking what they really want to do, or worse yet, spending actual time together with them. You have your own TV and computer in your room. Now go away. And let's not forget those new SUVs and minivans with built-in drop-down television screens so parents can sedate and ignore their kids without wasting a minute of precious cell phone time. Well, guess what? The shooter in Springfield, Oregon was on Ritalin and Prozac too. Yet he heard voices and felt he couldn't make them stop. The one in Pearl, Mississippi was beaten by his brother and told by his mother that he was fat, stupid, lazy, and wouldn't amount to anything. He too reported hearing voices. The one in Kentucky had been branded gay in the school newspaper, then told by the administration that was no big deal. Guess it was to him. According to The Nation, the 13-year-old in Arkansas had been molested for the past 4 years. And the woman in South Carolina who barely escaped a death sentence for pushing her car into a lake and drowning her own children was repeatedly molested as a teenager by her stepfather, who no one suspected, let alone ever punished, because he was a respectable pillar of the community and head of the local Christian coalition. Nothing is more dangerous than someone who truly believes their life is destroyed and they have nothing left to live for and therefore nothing to lose. Who don't necessarily want to die but feel they have no choice. Who are pretty sure who screwed up their lives and figure, if I have to die, I'm taking them with me. This has been a brutal fact of ghetto life since time immemorial. But now that it's hit white suburbia, kids who don't buy into the game are all fair game. But no matter how much you profile and put up cameras and harass and ban music, some vacant stranger out there somewhere, raised on guns or raised on hate, mind fucked by pedophile relatives, molested by Ritalin and Prozac, smothered by older brothers, successful siblings, and the pressure to be perfect, will find a way to be pop star for a day and will tune in and watch every time. The Columbine shooters thought there should be a movie about their lives, directed by Tarantino, or get this, Steven Spielberg. There's something very Ed Wood about that, if you ask me. And the hockey dad in Massachusetts, who slammed someone else's dad's head into the locker room floor in front of the kids again and again until he was dead, what music did he listen to? And the online day trader in Atlanta who lost his shirt and gunned down his brokers, was he driven to kill by the influence of the Wall Street Journal? This could have been me. Why not me? Why not me? I do what I can to fill in the blanks for people who've only lived in the era of Reagan, Bush, Clinton greed, who never knew a time when corporations were supposed to obey the law, when government politicians weren't so brazenly corrupt, when there were actual differences between the Democrat and Republican Party, when there were actually people worth voting for and dreams worth believing in, when commercial radio didn't totally suck. When news media was independent and took their job seriously enough to report actual news, illuminating important things that were really going on and showed why they were important and affected people's lives. when we felt responsibility for people who were hurting and didn't turn our snouts and leave them begging in the street. When people come of age now, they see a horizon of greed, hate, corruption, pollution, of absentee parents, failed go, go, go lives, see no hope for finding meaningful work, no hope for being honestly and truly loved, no hope for lasting relationships with anyone or anything. Admire thrills instead of courage, because sooner or later, when you snoop behind the music, everyone you looked up to and respected turns out to suck anyway. Taught not to hope, or how small battles fighting for what you can change can build up to changing what it looks like you can't. How do we empower people to grow up unafraid to be their own person? And by sometimes painful, sometimes clumsy trial and error, find out and flesh out who they are. What's wrong with an identity? Let the bad seeds grow, and the drive and vision to break out and strike a nerve, and at least not be another dysfunctional robot. How I wish I could tell the people who snap, high school isn't that important, and it's not the best years in most people's lives, and in the long run, when you look back, it doesn't matter much anyway, does it? And the sooner you stand up and piss on its grave, head into the dawn and get the hell out of town, find and build your own world and really be your own person, blunder into fellow mutants who see the same things you do, and know there's something better somewhere out there when you make the effort to create it, the smaller, more laughable, and totally unimportant those golden teenage memories and rose-colored scars become.